Amen. God's good to us, isn't He? Man, to provide salvation for an undeserving people. Leave us and then give us the Holy Spirit to live within us. To help us to live for Him, but make us a promise that He's coming back to get us one day. Amen. That way, no matter what happens to us on this side of heaven, we know that the promises of God are true and that He's coming back to get us one day. Amen. God is so good. I want to invite you tonight, if you have a copy of God's Word, turn to 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. I find myself sometimes, Brother Edgar, and I don't know if you do this or not. I'm sure all preachers do. And maybe many of you do as well. But I find myself sometimes thinking about a lot of things during a service and have to remind myself that I need not concern myself so much in a sense with people that aren't here. And what I mean by that is to be thankful, even though the church is not full, but to be thankful for those of you that showed up to serve and to worship our blessed Savior. Amen. And I truly believe this, that if those that are gathered in this building tonight would truly meet with a holy God and get ourselves right, I believe that those of us, now hear what I'm saying, those that are even members of your church that choose not to come and to be here for the rest of the week will begin to wonder what in the world is going on up there, and they'll come back just to see what God's doing in you. Amen? And then guess what happens when that happens? God will begin to get a hold of them too. And that's how revival starts. And so I pray tonight that we not concern ourselves with anybody else except for us, ourselves, individually, and what Jesus has to say to us. You think we can do that tonight? I have to do that, and I want you to do that as well. Amen? You think we can? All right, let's do that. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse number 1. I'm going to ask you to stand and honor the reading of God's Word, if you do not mind and you're physically able. If you're not, that's all right too. The Bible says this, 2 Kings 23, verse number 1. Now the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all of the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar, and he made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart and all of his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all of the people took a stand for the covenant. Father, we ask you, Lord Jesus, tonight to speak to our individual hearts. God, that the Holy Spirit of God would show us everything that we need to see tonight. God, we pray that you would do that, not that we might boast in ourselves and the life experience that we had tonight, but Lord, that we might boast in the cross of Calvary. Father, we pray that you'd speak to us in a real way. Change our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a message to you tonight entitled Destroying a Kingdom. Destroying a Kingdom. I believe this message is applicable for all kingdoms. I want us to understand this passage of Scripture and understand about destroying a kingdom, because I believe the things that I want to share with you tonight are principles that apply to every kingdom that's ever been built, save one, okay? And I'll explain that to you later. This particular passage of Scripture, the Bible is actually referring to Josiah. Now, if you remember, Josiah was the guy that became king at 8 years old. I mean, scare me, you know what I'm saying? To have a president that would be 8 years old. That'd be kind of freaky. And so he became king at 8 years old, and if you'll remember correctly, his father and his grandfather, Manasseh and Amon, for 57 years prior to Josiah becoming king, they were building their own kingdoms and doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord, the Bible said. You and I have to understand this. Back in that particular time, everything was built on kingdoms. When kings would be raised up, they would build themselves kingdoms. And then when that king died, the next king would build himself a kingdom. And the kingdom depended upon how the king wanted to run that kingdom. Does that make sense? And so everything back in Scripture was built on kingdom by kingdom by kingdom by kingdom. Well, these two men, Amon and Manasseh, had built a kingdom that spread across 57 years in the nation of Israel, and it was evil in the sight of Almighty God. The Bible says that they practiced witchcraft in the house of God, for crying out loud. The Bible says that they provoke the Lord to anger. The Bible says this in 2 Kings 21 verse 9, that Manasseh seduced them, the people of God, to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. So those people that God said, we're going to overtake those people, they are evil, they're doing evil in my sight. Manasseh led the people of God to do worse than those people. I mean, he built a kingdom that was absolutely evil. And now Josiah has been raised up now, and believe it or not, trust me when I tell you this, he'd been raised up by the Lord God Almighty. He was raised up, and now Josiah has an opportunity to build a different kingdom than the one that his father and his grandfather had built before the Lord. Now, this particular passage of Scripture in context is happening after Josiah gets his men to clean out the house of God, to clean out this place where they used to worship Jehovah but has been turned into a pagan worship center. They're cleaning it out, and in the midst of cleaning it out, they find this book, the Bible says. And as they begin to read this book, they're like, man, we've got to show this to the king. And so they get the book, they show it to the king, and they read it to the king. And as they're reading this book to the king, and many scholars believe this is part of Deuteronomy, they're reading this to the king, and as the king is hearing it, he's convicted. He's convicted because he can see the nation before him, and he can see what God is telling the nation they should do, and he sees that they're far from that. Amen? They are far from that. And so the Bible says that he begins to tear his clothes. He begins to rip his clothes in a sign of anguish and repentance because he realizes the nation has turned against the very God that established them. And so the Bible says that he calls all the people together to himself, and he begins to obviously share some of what's in this book and begins to say, I am going to take a stand on this covenant. I'm going to make a covenant to take a stand on this word, and I'm going to build my kingdom according to what God says we should do. And the Bible says this, amazingly, that all of the people stood for the covenant the same as Josiah did. And the Bible says this, that Josiah led basically an absolute revival in the nation of Israel. And the Bible says this about Josiah, that there was no king before him, nor a king after him, that searched after the Lord with all of his heart and his soul and his strength. None like him. And so, as Josiah takes over, makes the covenant, now listen, as he makes the covenant, there's some house cleaning that has to be done. The temple of God has been desecrated, all right? The place where they're worshiping has been desecrated. The people have been swayed to worship false gods. And so Josiah must, listen, he must tear down that kingdom in order to build the kingdom that God wants him to build. Now I want to show you tonight how you can tear down a kingdom. We see it in Scripture. We'll see it in any kingdom that there is. These are the things that must be realized in tearing down a kingdom. Truth number one in tearing down a kingdom. You must understand, if you're going to tear down a kingdom, you must understand that the worship of their gods dictated the way that they ran their kingdom. You've got to understand that. The God that they worshiped dictated their belief system, and their belief system dictates how they acted and how they responded. And so therefore, in order for you to effectively, efficiently tear down a kingdom, you must understand the God that they serve is the one who dictates how they run the kingdom. And so you've got to understand that from the very beginning. Truth number two, after you understand that that God that the nation is worshiping will dictate how they build the kingdom, you must also understand to destroy the kingdom, you must destroy the kingdom's idols. You must destroy the kingdom's idols. And I want to show you. Very first thing, after Josiah takes a covenant with Jehovah God, the first thing that he begins to do is recognize that they've been serving false gods, and he must get rid of the idols of those false gods. The Bible goes on to say this, and I'm just going to do this in passing. It says he removed, in verse 5, the idolatrous priest. Verse number 6, he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord. Verse 7, he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were built in the house of the Lord. Verse number 8, he brought out all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense. And so basically, he got rid of all of the altars where they burned incense to false gods. Verse number 11, he removed the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun at the entrance of the house of the Lord, the altars, verse 12, that were on the roof, the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the king of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, the king broke them down and pulverized them there, and threw their dust in the brook Kidron. Verse number 14, he broke down in pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images and filled their places with the bones of men. Verse number 9, Josiah took away all the shrines of the high places that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel made to the Lord God, to provoke the Lord to anger, and he did to them according to all the deeds that he had done in Bethel. And verse 20, he executed all the priests of the high places who were there on the altars and burned men's bones on them, and he returned to Jerusalem. So you can see that Josiah is very serious about tearing down this evil kingdom, can't you? The first thing he does is he understands that that God that they've been worshiping, Baal and Asherah and the God of Sun or whatever else, he must tear down those idols in order to tear down that kingdom. And you and I must realize that if we're going to tear down a kingdom, we must tear down the idols, the things that represent that kingdom. Truth number three. Got to understand this. To leave the idols is to leave the kingdom. To leave the idols is to leave the kingdom. Let me show you what I mean. 2 Kings chapter 15. Verse number 35, this is just one instance. There are many instances like this in Scripture. This is just one. The Bible says, however, now new king is taken over, however, the high places, those places where they worshiped and where those idols, they were not removed, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on those high places. If you do not remove the idols, then people will continue to worship the God that the idols represent. Amen? Now everybody listen to me. I know you're wondering, where in the world are you going with this? Here's what I want you to remember right now, as of this time. Understand that if you're ever going to tear down a kingdom, three things must be done. You must understand that the God that is being served dictates how the kingdom is run. You must understand, in order for you to destroy that kingdom, you must destroy the idols. And if you do not destroy the idols, then the kingdom will remain. Let me give you just a small example. Everybody with me, say amen. America is being torn down. And so how do you know? Apply the principles. Jehovah God has dictated how we've been living in America for a long time. We were built on Christian principles and the foundations of Jesus Christ Himself, were we not? Slowly but surely, they are doing their very best to remove this God from this pedestal, this throne that he deserves to be on, are they not? Because they understand that the God that we serve dictates how we run the kingdom. Now, secondly, after they've realized that we're serving Jehovah, Jesus Christ, they need to get rid of him. So what do they have to do in order to get rid of this kingdom? They must remove the very symbols that point to this king, to this God. That's why they're doing their best to remove the Bible out of everything. They're doing their best to remove the Ten Commandments off of everything. Do you know why they're doing that? Because they are trying. They don't even know it. They're being led by the devil. They're trying to destroy the kingdom of America. Amen. It's a fact, Jack. Look at it. See. Look at it in Scripture and see. And that's exactly what's taking place right here in the good old U.S. of A. It's slowly but surely being torn down. But when we look at that, you say, how in the world is this possible? How in the world, what does this mean for you and I? Here's what it means for you and I. Now hear me when I say this. Each one of us must understand a couple of different things about kingdoms. We must understand God's kingdom is being built at this time. Amen? Jesus said, I'm going to build my kingdom. You and I have to understand that we are tools in the hand of a holy God helping Him build His kingdom. You understand that? So first things first, you and I must understand that God's building a kingdom. Although many men build kingdoms, God's building a kingdom as well. And you and I, we are tools in the hands of a holy God to assist Him in building His kingdom. I love that, man. I love knowing that I'm being used by a holy God to assist Him in building His kingdom. Amen? But we also must understand this. The only way that we can be effective, you and I, now this is personal now, the only way that you and I can be effective in building God's kingdom, okay, you got it? Everybody ready? The only way we can be effective in building God's kingdom is that we must first tear our kingdom down. You've got to tear your kingdom down in order for you to be effective at helping God build His kingdom. Now here's what I want to do for the remainder of the service. I want you and I to evaluate our lives, because truth be known, many of us are going around and we're building our own kingdoms instead of building His. Now listen to me. I know that you're probably the most dedicated of the most dedicated at Cooper Baptist Church. And so there's going to be a temptation for you to say, not me. Not me. I'm doing everything within my power to build God's kingdom. I don't have nothing going on in my life that's keeping me from building God's kingdom. See, and you would be wrong. You would be wrong. Truth be known, you and I, if we would take an honest evaluation of our lives, every day we do our best to try to build our own kingdom. And I'm going to show you that. So I want you to take this into consideration. If you and I are going to tear down our kingdom. Now, I'm not talking about nations anymore. I'm talking about our kingdom, the one that you and I are trying to build. We must take the same principles and apply it to our very own life. So the first thing we must understand is this. Our belief dictates our behavior. The God that we serve will dictate how you and I respond. And so you're sitting out there, if you're saved, and you're thinking, well, praise God. I'm serving Jehovah, Jesus. I'm serving Jehovah God, Jesus Christ. I mean, I know, therefore, my belief in Him is dictating how I live and how I respond. That may be true for the most part. But there are instances and moments in your life when you choose not to worship that God. You choose, just like the nation of Israel, you choose to worship yourself instead of Him. And so therefore, when you choose to worship yourself, you are choosing to build your kingdom. And you're doing it just like you want to do it. Now I know many of us are going to say, no, not me, not me, not me. But you begin to evaluate your life and you see if you're not building your own kingdom. I guarantee you that you are. You say, well, not today. You may not be today. especially right now, because I'm preaching about it. You're going, oh, it ain't me, it's somebody else. But tomorrow, you'll be trying your best to build your own kingdom. You must understand that what you believe will dictate how you respond. Let me give you a small example of that. Those people that flew those planes into the World Trade Center and stuff, their belief system dictated how they responded. That's why they did that, because their belief system said it was all right to do that. And so basically what happens is you have to make sure that as a child of God, you are making sure that Jesus Christ is first and foremost. And if you will do that, then you will build His kingdom and not yours. But you must understand that your belief system dictates how you respond and how you live. The second thing you must understand about your kingdom is that in order for you to tear your kingdom down, you must tear down your idols. You got to get rid of your idols. Say, Brother Casey, I don't have any idols. Let me tell you what an idol is. This is not fancy. This is not a theologian's concept of idols. This is ignorant guy from Crowville, Louisiana's concept of an idol. But I believe it's powerful and it's strong and I believe it's true. Here's what an idol is. An idol is a god that we create that thinks just like us. That's what an idol is. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, back in those days, there were so many gods, they just picked and chose the one they wanted to serve. And you know how they picked and chose the one they wanted to serve? The one that would let them do exactly what they wanted to do. That was the one they served. So basically, they created a god that thought just like they did. And you and I must be careful that we don't begin to serve ourselves. What would it be like, and I truly believe this happens, that many people come to church on Sunday morning, they even clap, even say amen, even say hallelujah, stand to their feet and so-called praising the Lord, but what they're really doing is lifting their hands to themselves, because it's not about the Lord, it's about them. I was preaching at a Disciple Now the other day, and I was preaching about the grace of God. And the guy that was leading the worship he was just leading a great worship song. I mean, it was just, Brother Edgar, it was one of those moments where he was just like, man, wow, this is so amazing. This is a great song. We get to worship God. And I saw some teenagers up there. They're doing their little dancing and everything. And it's a worship song. It's not even a have fun song. I mean, I'm all about having fun. But it wasn't even one of those kind of songs. It was one of those songs where you just stop. And you begin to focus and like, oh wow, God is so amazing. His grace is so much greater than my sin. It's amazing. And I'll be honest with you, the fuel level went all the way up. And I began to pray, Lord, don't let me do anything in the flesh, but let me openly, publicly, biblically rebuke. And so right in the middle of the song, I stopped, I shut the show down. Shut it down. And I mean, I'm teared up. I'm about to cry. It hurt my feelings. And the reason it did is because it was all about them. None of it was about Jesus. It was all about them. You see, they had created an idol, and that idol looked just like them. And you and I must understand, if we're going to build God's kingdom, we got to tear our idols down. Third thing we must understand is this. If you leave the idols, your kingdom remains. If you leave the idols in your life, your kingdom remains. That's why Josiah went far and wide trying to remove every idol so that people couldn't turn their eyes upon it and remember those false gods that they served and begin to stop and bow down to those wooden images and begin to worship the wrong God. He removed all of that stuff, burned it up, tore it down, got it out of sight, because he knew that if he left those idols, then people would go back and they'd begin to worship those idols. That's why it is so important for you to understand you can leave no idol in your life. None. None. You say, Brother Casey, how do you know that I have an idol? I don't know what your idols are. I'll just tell you that, but I know you got them. Because you're no different than these people, and I'm no different than these people. We all have idols in our life. And so basically, listen to me. Here's what God's trying to say to us. If you want your life to be what God wants it to be, and if you truly want to build His kingdom tonight, you've got to tear your idols down. You got to tear your kingdom down. Now, what are they? I don't know what yours are. I can list you what some idols are. Some people have built up an idol of unforgiveness. There is someone that has hurt you in the past, done something wrong, and rightfully so, they harmed you. They don't deserve forgiveness. And so you've built up an idol of unforgiveness, and you're worshiping that idol of unforgiveness. You're hanging on to that idol. You're hanging on to it. You're clutching it. But you are forgetting that God said, in order for us to truly build His kingdom, we must forgive as He has forgiven us. Because we spit in the Lord Jesus' face as humanity. We crucified Him on the cross of Calvary, but He forgave us. So we must forgive. So we must tear down that idol of unforgiveness. For some of you, it's not unforgiveness. For some of you, it's pornography. And you say, why do you keep mentioning that? Listen to me. Because it's running rampant in our society. And listen, the church has not been able to escape it. It's infiltrating itself into the church. And not only just in the church, but behind the pulpit. They say many, many pastors are hooked on pornography. They've built up an idol of pleasure, of pornography. One little peek when nobody else is looking. You just keep building it higher and higher, and you're kneeling down at an altar of pornography. And that altar's got to come down tonight in order for us to build the kingdom of God. It's got to come down. For some of you, it's not pornography. For some of you, it's gossip. You've truly become wonderful at gossip. And you're so great at it, and you've built such a good idol of gossip that you can even disguise it in a prayer chain. Now, I'm not against the prayer chains. Praise God, we got them. But sometimes those prayer chains turn into a gossip session instead of truly praying for that person that's in need, especially if it's an old messy sinner. You know what I mean? And so you've just built an idol of gossip. Some of you, it's hate. You've built an idol of hate. There's someone that you absolutely loathe. You can't stand them. And instead of forgiving them or trying to make amends with them, you hate them. And listen, the devil's going, just keep building that a little higher. Just a little higher. Keep worshiping. Don't tear that down. Don't tear that down. Listen, here's what he's saying. He said, oh, you can have one of those church services. You can go on and have an emotional trip there at the church house, but as long as you come back and don't tear that idol down, everything's going to be all right, because I know it won't be long. You're going to be hating again because you never tore down that idol. And so the devil is just playing on us. And we're building them up. Some of you, it's arrogance. Some of you can't build the kingdom of God effectively because you're too in love with yourself. It's all about you. It's everything has to be about you. Some of us, it's not arrogance, it's drugs. Some of us, it's lust. It's laziness. It's greed. It's selfishness. Some of us have even built an idol, and it takes shape and takes form of the local church house. We come to church to worship the church and not worship Jesus of the church. For some of us, that's our idol. I had a lady tell me one time, bless her heart. I know she wasn't trying to be ugly, but it was really ridiculous. We were having a youth meeting at our church, and she happened to be one of the custodians at the church, and we having a youth meeting in the sanctuary. We're trying to get lost people there and win them to Jesus Christ, what you're supposed to do. And she was too concerned about us messing up the church. She said, can't y'all do that somewhere else? That's what she said. Listen, she had fabricated an idol, and it was a church. The church was too pretty to be used and to be messed up like that. Bunch of knucklehead teenagers coming in here messing up what I've been doing. Built an idol. For some of us, the idol is preference. We've built an idol of preference, and if our preacher doesn't do it like we think that it ought to be done, or if he doesn't look like we think that he ought to look, then he got to go. I heard a preacher tell us illustration the other day, or a friend of mine told me about a preacher that told this illustration, said he was invited to do this revival by these people at this church somewhere
far away from here,
and he had a goatee, you know. Like, I mean, I got a beard, he got a goatee. Robert's got a goatee, all right. So he had one like Robert, and so they invited him to come preach this revival, and then they got on the internet and they saw what he looked like. And so they called him and they said, "Brother so-and-so," said, "Brother, we love the way you preach. We love the truth that is in your messages. But we have a policy at our church that you can't get behind our pulpit if you have facial hair." Now that's a policy. That's in the bylaws. So the man said, this is what he did. He didn't say nothing. He said, "That's fine." Obviously, that's a preference, because if it wasn't, Jesus couldn't preach in the church. John the Baptist would certainly not be invited to our churches. Amen. So here's what he did. He just got an envelope, closed it, didn't put nothing in it. And on the back of the envelope, no facial hair behind this pulpit. The back of the envelope, he just said, "Pastor, do you have eyebrows?" Look how ridiculous that is. It's an idol of preference. It's just an idol that we fabricated and that we've built up. And I'll be honest with you. Listen to me. I'll be honest with you. We are slowly but surely having a hand in destroying the church by worshiping idols within the church. We are no different than those people. You say, man, they brought idols up in the church. So do we. We bring idols up in the church house and lay them at the altar of God and worship them. Worship them. It's a hard reality, but that's what we've done. The world outside is looking at us Christians worshiping all of these idols, and they laugh and they mock at us. And the truth be known, it isn't very long before we start arguing within ourselves about those idols. And then we'll church split over idols, preferences, things of that nature. Folks, what I want you to understand is, if you and I are ever going to build the kingdom of God and help assist Him and do it correctly, we must get rid of the idols that are in our life. We have to. We have to tear down our kingdom. I want you to notice something. You say, how, Brother Casey, do we do it? How do I tear down this idol that is in my life tonight? I want to show you one key verse in this passage of Scripture. It's verse number 20. Chapter 23, verse number 20. This is key. This is important. Listen to what it says. It said he, talking about Josiah, executed all of the priests of the high places who were there on the altars, and burned men's bones on them, and he returned to Jerusalem. Sounds mean, but here's what he did. Every priest that led people to worship false gods, he killed them. He executed every single one of them. How can you and I tear down our kingdom? Listen to me. Listen to me. You and I, individually, are the priests that are leading ourselves to worship idols, and we must be executed. You must execute yourself in order to tear down your kingdom. Now, you understand, not a physical sense. Spiritually, you have to die to yourself. Think about it. If you no longer exist, then your preferences don't matter. If you no longer exist, then what you want doesn't matter. Right? And Jesus said that when we trusted Him by faith, that we became His. We are to die to ourselves when we become His. And so therefore, what we want should never, ever matter. It should only matter what Jesus wants. That's the only way to effectively build the kingdom of God, is to execute ourselves, that our kingdom might come down and His kingdom might remain. Amen? Let me tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. The religious thing for you to do tonight is not recognize your idols. That's the religious thing. Because you know what that does? That makes you look good in the eyes of man, and it makes you feel good about yourself. But if that's the case, you hadn't executed yourself, have you? Because it's still about you. It should never be about you. It should always be about His kingdom. His kingdom come, not ours. I don't know about you, but recently I've had to work through some idols in my life. I've had to tear those idols down. You say, really? Yeah, really. I'm a person just like you are. Us pastors and preachers and evangelists, we're not robots. We're humans just like you are. We have idols too. Sometimes my idol, you know what my idol is sometimes? My idol sometimes is preaching good. I want to get after the service and evaluate everything I said and make sure I did it exactly right to impress you. Wow, you never thought that, did you? That's one of my idols I must destroy. My idol, one of my idols that I've battled and had to destroy, and listen to me, you have to destroy it every day. You have to kill your kingdom every day. And one of the idols that I've had to battle with since I was a teenager is pride. Casey Johnson loves him some Casey Johnson. I do. You say, you don't look like it. You ain't around me much. I constantly have to kill that Casey Johnson and get rid of him so that Jesus can work in and through me. Folks, I want to tell you something. It's about time you and I stop all this church nonsense and start building God's kingdom. Not trying to build a church, but trying to build His kingdom. Amen? That's what we must do. Now listen to me. I said this to you a moment ago, and I want you to hear this. Every one of you's already thought probably already what your idol is. And so I had a lady tell me this week, she was about 75 years old. I preached this message, and she said, I went down to that altar last night, and she said, and I laid that idol down. She said, I laid it down. I got it right with Jesus last night. And she said, and I took a walk this morning like I always do every morning. And she said, I'm thanking God that He gave me the strength to lay that idol down. She said, the problem was He started showing me more. She's 75 years old. You mean 75-year-olds, Robert, sinners too? Have mercy. You better believe it. You better believe it. You may not be in the prime of your life, but the devil still gets you just like he gets everybody else. And she said, I repented of it, and then he started showing me other stuff that's an idol in my life. I told you earlier. So you know what your idols are. You either obey or you don't tonight. That's simple. I told you a moment ago that this works with any kingdom. Make no mistake about it. If America keeps going down the path it's going, and the people, whoever they are, I don't even know how it happens. Sometimes I think it's us that's the problem. But however it's happening, but if it keeps going the way it's going, it's slowly but surely tearing the kingdom down. Slowly but surely. It works in every kingdom except one. Except one. And that's the kingdom of God. And the reason it cannot work on the kingdom of God, I love this part, it's my favorite part. The reason it does not work on the kingdom of God, because they couldn't kill the priest. They couldn't kill him. They couldn't kill him, and so he still directs people to worship him. I love that part. They couldn't kill him, man. They tried. They tried, and for, 2.5 days later, they was thinking, yeah, got him. And then all of a sudden they go, where's he at? Oh, no. Where's he at? They could not kill the priest. The only way you're ever going to be effective in building the kingdom of God is by trusting in that priest, Jesus. Amen? You must repent of your sins and give your heart and your life to Him. And when you do that, then He sets you on a journey. And I'm going to tell you, it's a journey, man. It's a, bless God, it's a journey. It's amazing. He sets you on a journey of being a part of building His own kingdom. You're a tool in the hands of a holy God. And He's building a kingdom. I seen a guy over around Shreveport. I was preaching a revival, and a preacher told me, he said, There's a guy over here who says he's a knife maker. You got to see some of the knives this guy makes. And I was thinking, well, I mean, you know, I've seen some knife makers. You know, I mean, we've had some guys who went to churches and they gave us some of the knives that they make. And it's a nice knife. It's something that you might want to go out there and skin a deer with, something like that. You know, it's a nice knife. I went to this guy's house. He goes to a safe. He starts pulling out knives. And he's like, trying to sell this one right here for $5,000. I'm like, who in the world will pay that much for a knife? And then he pulls it out of the case. It was amazing. Man, I'm talking like ivory handles and gold lays on it. And I mean, just, he had stuff engraved all in the, I mean, it was professional. I mean, it looked like something you see in a magazine that's worth thousands and thousands. I mean, it was amazing. And I thought to myself, wow, man, how gifted this guy is to take his hands and to be able to make something like that. You and I are tools in the hand of an amazing God. And He's using us to build His kingdom. But He cannot do it if you're too busy building yours. Tear your kingdom down tonight that His kingdom may be raised up. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much, God, for Your word. Lord, this is just the stuff You want us to know. That, Lord, that we can tear down a kingdom. And the greatest kingdom we need to tear down, it's not the devil's kingdom, it's our kingdom. He doesn't have a kingdom. It's our kingdom that we should tear down. That we might build Your kingdom. Father, I pray for those who are here tonight, and I know we do, have idols in our life, whatever they are. Those things we fabricate because they please us, they suit us, and we enjoy them. Father, I pray that You would help us tonight to throw those idols down. Crush them. Burn them up tonight that we might build the kingdom of God through these hands, through these feet, and through our lips. Father, would You do in us what only You can do? Cause us to move. We want to give You praise. We want to give You glory. We want to honor You tonight, and we want to do that not by a show of hands, not by a clap, but by our simple obedience to repent and to cast down our kingdoms. Please help us, dear Jesus, cast down our kingdoms.